You're listening to Spraymakers, the podcast that dives deep into the world of slalom with Chris Rossi and Trent Dennison. Coaching your kids can be a tricky situation. This week, the guys jump into the best approach to coaching your own kids or taking them to get coached somewhere else.
Rossi, you know, you just got back this week from a family water ski trip. You know, you took your boys down to South Florida to knock the winter dust off I just want to, you know, because you and I are, we both have children, and mine are younger, and they're just sort of muddling around in the water. So that's where I'm at with my kids. Yours are, you know, approaching their maybe even one into the teenage years. So, you know, that's where they're at. They're already competitors. So I think this would be just kind of interesting. Let's just go through, you know, our own experiences and you know, our own approaches and see if we can maybe help people out when they're getting their own kids skiing.
You know, it's something that just kind of over the years as a coach, you see so many mm-hmm. things, you know, and pre me having kids or when my kids were too young to actually be skiing and things like that. I saw so many different, I don't know, the way kids are and the way that the parents were handling yeah. the kids skiing and things like that. And as a coach, one of my least favorite scenarios was when a hardcore dad would come with his son to ski school and, mm-hmm. And they, you could even tell just like that comment you made about Matt Rainey, knowing when people walk down to the dock, you know, what's going to happen from their student, you know, mm-hmm. you'd see a dad and a kid or kids show up and you could tell the dad was super into it. And then the kids, you watch them walk down and they're just so not into it. And and then I'm just going to paint this picture before we even start, yeah. just so it's out there, you know. So, and then dad's like all over the kids about getting ready and doing your thing. And what are you working on? And then, you know, dad jumps in the boat with the kids and the kids, you can just tell body language wise, the kids don't want to be there. And, you know, that's like the nightmare scenario for me as a coach, number one, because the kid doesn't, the child does not want to actually go out there. And then that started like sparking my brain on, okay, what is happening here? How do we get around this? And I know, and you know, Trent, how fun skiing is. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're going to take one thing away from this episode, you could turn it off now here at about 3 minutes in. You got to make sure this stuff is super fun. Like, why would a kid do anything? They do it because it's fun and they are engaged and they like it. It's not yeah. because they're going to be a pro. They don't start playing soccer with the knowledge that they're going to become a pro. They start playing soccer because they love playing soccer and it's a fun game and they have a good time when they do it. So anyway, as a coach, it was just such a challenging situation. And I finally got to this place where I was confident in myself enough to, and these are things that coaches have to deal with too, you know, like I finally yep. became confident in myself enough to be like, I read the body language when the clients show up. And then I started saying, we're going to do individual lessons for everybody. And these kids are going to come out with me only. And dad, we love you. You can go watch from the side of the lake, but we're going to go and have our own experience because I had too many times where I was coaching an intense parent with their kids who just really wanted their kids to be super into it like they are. And they jump in the boat and that relationship with the kid, the child to the parent, it knows no boundaries. So no matter if you're at ski school yeah. or you're at home, it's going to affect how things go. And I had too many times that I was, I don't know. I mean, maybe this is a bad way to say it, but I was railroaded by the parent because the parent would say something while the kid's skiing. And then immediately that just fired this thing where, you know, they just want to go the opposite direction and it just reaffirmed that it's not fun and they're not into it. So
no, that's yes, you're right. So like we jumped into this quickly. So like, let's just go straight instructional with this. So that's a great point. And it's like, it's something. Okay. So here's like, okay, like note number one, if you're taking your kids to a ski school, be respectful of this. And it doesn't mean that you're a bad ski parent. It doesn't mean that any of that, but you just have to remember, like, okay, it maybe it likely does, or hopefully it works perfectly fine at home when you're skiing with your kids. You know, it's you and them and everyone's having fun and da 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 da. But now, you know, you insert the presence of a coach, and you have to think about how the dynamics are going to alter. One, the kids are certainly going to be more nervous, right? You know, it's a coach. It's someone they're not familiar with. So then their expectations are going to be altered. And two, you know, if it's not someone you know that well, like as a parent, you're likely to be, I know I would be a little bit more nervous. I mean, like, okay, here's, I'm with Chris Rossi, Jesse, show Chris how good you are. Show him how good you are. Don't make me look bad. And even if you're not, you know, obviously you're not going to be verbalizing this, but that there's those kind of internal pulls, right?
What a great way that you just brought that up in such a nice fashion, right?
Yeah, I can feel the anxiety, you know, even, right. you know, just thinking about my own experiences that I've had thus far. So that is, you know, so if we're just going to go, okay, like pointer number one, like when you show up in these scenarios, I think like anything, always communication is the best key. So, you know, some coaches certainly may not mind, but it, you know, it would be that conversation should be had, you know, do you want me to ride or do you want to take them out on their own? And typically for most people, the answer is going to be, you know, we'll go out on our own. And I think the number one concern why maybe people, parents don't like to relinquish sort of fully like this is they're worried about, I need to know what they're working on. So if, you know, if you have the right coach, or, you know, if you're not sure if you have the right coach, then just convey that wish, you know, like, you know, because for me in that scenario, I'm going to be like, typically I'm gonna be like, no, I'm just going to take him out on my own. We'll be right back. You know, you chill out. You can start warming up for your set, but I'm going to make sure they know, you know, at, you know, conclusion of the day or the week or whatever this scenario is, we're going to be very collaborative. You're going to leave with, you know, we're all going to be on the same page. So when you coach and when you get home, you're going to just, you know, pick up right where we left off. So, you're likely paying good money. So relinquish some of the control and, you know, try and create that scenario where your kids are going to have the lowest pressure ability to learn the most.
Right. Well, you're going to, as a parent, know a couple of things. You know your child more than anyone. So apprehensive children that are really, really nervous is one thing. And in that scenario, that might be one where you ask the, as a parent, you ask the coach, hey, you know, so-and-so is a little nervous today. I asked them, they'd prefer if I came in the boat, you know? And so like there are scenarios where riding in the boat is a positive thing and can help. Yep. And maybe it's just like for that first time, you know, and then after
that's
that,
exactly where my
you can
went.
Let them, yeah, you can let them go and have their experience, you know, For you know, from my personal experience, like you just mentioned it, like, you know, the kids and I went down to visit some family in Florida. We ended up going and skiing at the Hobe Sound Ski Club. Lucky. And it was great experience. And while I was driving there, I mean, okay, so I've got a 13-year-old and a 9-year-old, and you know, I play a very fine game of push and pull back. Right. So like you want to encourage them, but you don't want to like just keep hammering them about skiing and skiing and skiing. But sometimes they need a gentle reminder, maybe a gentle push. And then you have to learn to back off. Right. So, you know, I played that game for their whole careers. They're not, you know, they're into it as much as they want to be into it. I obviously, you know, I've explained to them that they have a dad who can unlock the doors to as much of the sport as they want. So, fast forward, I'm on this trip, we're driving to the lake, and I just had this realization, like, oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to unleash these two kids, as long as they're both comfortable with it. And I had a conversation with them in the car after I had this idea. But my idea, I realized, I'm like, oh, you know what? Even though I'm this coach,
yeah,
I'm going to remove myself and, you know, I'm going to let them go have their experience with the coaches provided. And, you know, as we've said so many times, all coaches are going to see the same weakness areas, and then they're going to go about it the way they want to go about it. And they have things that have worked, and they, you know, they work on, you know, providing that information to the client. And I realized that me being in the boat, I know when even myself this day, if I'm in the boat with other professional coaches, then I start thinking about like, well, how would I do this? Oh, I wonder how this person would react. So I realized that my presence in the boat was also going to add a level of pressure to the coach, to the, and also to the kids. Now, you know, I'm not tooting my own horn here because I've had many, many wrong choices along the way, of which I make sure I share with the kids immediately afterwards. Like, hey guys, I handled that situation poorly. I'm sorry for making you feel like, you know, or for me putting my stuff on you or whatever that is. But ultimately I just decided, you know, on this trip, I'm going to see how this goes. And all I can tell you is it went more than stellar. I mean, the kids were so stoked on the coaches there, and they had multiple different coaches. And so they had multiple experiences in this, you know, getting to know a different coach and getting to know them and being comfortable enough to ski and things like that. So anyway, it ended up being like this insane positive experience. They both came off after the first day, they got in the car and they're like, that was so fun and
cool,
and we're looking forward to doing it the next day. So anyway, part of that is why, you know, I was so excited to talk about this, you know, now, is just that there's so many different ways that we can approach it. I think what you were talking about, where the parent wants the kid to show other people all of their skills or what they know or how well their parents have done. I mean, hey, listen, I have that.
Of course. Right?
I mean, maybe I have that the most.
Probably. Because, right? Probably. You're like, these are my kids, dude.
These are kids of a professional coach who's, you know, been doing it a long time. And so, So, but, you know, at that point, I just realized, I think that my involvement in the boat, from my perspective, was going to be make things harder, most likely less fun. I consider myself a fun guy. And like I said, I tried, I'm not a mushroom, but I am a fun guy. But anyway, I mean, the point being, you know, you just have to kind of read the room and kind of understand that stuff. And then the other point you made, which was huge, is as a coach, I understand this. Like, if I'm going to take the kids out and I'm going to give them these new tools, I also know that kids only grasp certain amount of the information given to them. So yeah, I'm going to give the parent a 5 or 10 minute recap of what we've worked on, whether that be per day or at the end of the week. And I can also tell you something. I mean, one of the most things, I guess this is the next talking point, so I might as well go in there right now.
Yeah.
Do you teach I have a seventh grader and a third grader, right? So do you teach a third grader? Let's say you want to teach them science, physics, something like that. Are you going to go straight into astrophysics are you going to take it down to their level and then give these kind of introductory, exploratory ways of thinking about those concepts in a much more relatable way to them? Right.
Good point.
And I think this is really important. I mean, for all the coaches listening, like, yeah, you know what? You're crazy smart. You know, all these high level things, but we also need to make sure that really we're taking it down to their level, and they don't need to know center of mass, you know, all these things that might be just too much for them to grasp. Whereas, let's say my seventh grader can probably handle a slightly more adult conversation with what's going on. So slightly more technical, but on the same token, like, I don't get that deep with them. Like, time on the water is key. I look at the things that they're doing and I think, what's the one thing that I tell them that will be really important to how they, you know, how they progress? And then, dumbing it down is not the right way to say it.
No, I know exactly what you're saying though. And that was, you know, in moving, and yeah, you timed this perfectly, and moving away from, you know, okay, here's what to keep in mind when you go work with, when you take your kids to somewhere else. That, that was number one on point for me when it comes to coaching your own kids, is exactly that. It is, and you're right, it's not dumbing it down, but it's like, do not overcoach, right? Like for me, you know, because I've worked with, you know, a lot of kids through the different, you know, through the, you know, the whole progression scale. And for me, it's you teach them core foundational things, you know, in terms, and, you know, if you've listened to the podcast enough, you know exactly what those foundational things are to us. And then you kind of just stay out of the way, you know, like you mentioned, you know, do you talk about center of mass to a 10-year-old? And the answer is you don't need to, because they already know it. Like they, if given that, you know, I assume we're, you know, given that, that they walk, given that they move, they know center of mass and they know how it works. Rossi, like how, have you ever, like, just think of that kid learning to run the course. Have you ever taught a kid how to turn?
No.
No. Never. I've never taught a kid how to turn. They know how to turn. They shift their body weight and they turn. So, I mean, there's little, obviously there's small nuances that you kind of plug in there, but, you know, and you can see it. Like you can, even, you know, when they advance and then you see some of the, you know, there's, you know, a couple of young pros that come to mind now, you can see things in their skiing that you know are it's just baggage they're carrying from when they were overcoached as a kid, you know, or you watch someone that just moves so naturally, you know, and there's a, and again, there's a few young pros that come to mind where I'm just like, okay, that kid was not overcoached because they just move so naturally as their body, you know, as the parameters of their body dictates they need to. So
what's our goal here? What's our goal here, right? Our goal for all of us, for everybody listening here, your goal is to be able to go out there and do it naturally and not have to think. It's just do. Now, we obviously have to think on things because we have weaknesses and we're trying to get there to, you know, get to a place where we don't have to think, we just ski. But so why would you want to start somebody in a thinking situation versus a natural situation? I mean, yeah. I think that's just my general take on that.
Yeah, you know? That's it. Like, you teach them foundational things. So, like, you know, structure, how to stand, like, you know, in what manner do you stand so your body is the strongest, you know? Mm-hmm. And then from there, you can teach them, you know, you can teach them like how that applies to using the structure of their body to balance behind the load. You know, here's where you're going to be the strongest. Here's where you're going to start to feel weaknesses. Here's where you're going to be strong. And here's where you're going to be moving around and bouncing over the wakes. Mm-hmm. You know, and then from there you know, I like to teach people immediately sort of the, if you want to say rhythm or timing, but like, you know, where do you need to be in relation to the boat at what point, and how is it going to negatively or positively affect you? You know, it's just really like the big picture foundational things. And then, you know, I just have this idea in my mind and I remind myself as often as possible, because I step on my own toes once in a while too, is then just stay the hell out of the way.
Right.
You know, once they understand those things, then it's, you know, they're going to create their own nuances, and they're, you know, and again, like the people that look the most natural are the ones that are, you know, they're moving correctly. And it's, you know, you can do a lot of damage by, and I'm talking about water sea damage. So not big picture. you can make a lot of mistakes by just trying to carbon copy or plug a whole bunch of little keys and fancy cues into someone's skiing, you know?
Yeah, I think we traditionally overthink and overanalyze, and then when we relate this to our kids, we don't connect on their level. And I think that's what's so key, is just to connect on their level. Also realize these guys, you know, a big discussion about kids skiing, most kids haven't developed physically yet. So
yeah.
You know, like I have kids that do not understand how to, they physically can't engage their core.
Yeah.
So at that stage, like, are we going to, you know, like you have to understand, like, you're going to have some hips back. You're going to have some stuff like that. So as coaches, we talk about, like, how do we do, like, you know, how do we address this stuff? Because they don't even know how to do certain aspects, and you have to keep backing up. backing up. Yep. Like that's where just working on the way you stand on your ski, like, you know, like get your hips up, get your hips up, get your hips up. You know what? Maybe we need to, instead of worrying about getting your hips up after the finish of the turn, maybe what we need to teach them is how to enter the turn better so that their hips are already up when it's time to turn. And then it's easier for them to actually just have their hips up all the time versus trying to address this part where they were deficient coming into the buoy. So yeah, their hips are back coming out of the buoy. You know, like I just think there's a lot of rethinking that that can happen as to how you do it. And the other thing is that it probably isn't going to click as quickly all the time for kids. So just be constant and consistent with your information, because when you overload them, and I have overloaded, trust me, I mean, I've had the parent in the boat. I've wanted to give the kid, the child, the full Monty. And then you can see, you know, it as a coach, Trent, I mean, maybe you've never seen it, but most of us have, where the person in the water, the skier in the water that you're coaching, gets that glazed over look.
Yeah.
And once that happens, it's game over.
Yeah. So no, I'm guilty too. Where you know, I'm thinking, you know, I've got this process in place and everything's going, you know, according to plan. And then all of a sudden, you know, you just have this idea, is like, well, if I just plug this little thing in here, it's going to be a Band-Aid. And then all of a sudden I plug in one more thing. And then it's just like, okay, now we're just going completely, you know, all these converging directions. It's like, yes, you're right. You've got to stay on like on that simple plane. And I have this idea of, you know, once they have an understanding of you know, the two or three core foundational things, and then everything else you need to start teaching cause and effect, you know? Again, what instead of worrying about, well, yeah, instead of worrying about three little mistakes that you see and trying to fix those three little mistakes, you know, it's identifying, you know, what's the root cause to these, you know, to this one or two things that are going wrong. And you want to teach it in that manner. Like you don't want to focus on the end result of saying, you know, your head, you know, your eyes need to be more level coming into the buoy. You want to kind of figure out, okay, why are they tipped over and why are they not level? And, you know, because I have this idea of I want to teach, not instruct. You know, I want to, you know, ultimately as a coach, make myself less necessary. You know, mm-hmm. I want everyone to understand cause and effect. So and again, like you can start with kids in this really early, you know, they're coming off the handle. Well, hey, you know, what do you think makes you come off the handle or separate leaving the wakes? Well, you know, what happens if you come out of one ball and you push on your heels, you know, and you go into a seated position. Okay. Like that's the cause of this effect. Like, this whole thing is really simple if you just, you know, keep big picture in mind. But I think, you know, if you're going to go point number three, it would be that, you know, you want to teach your skiers what needs to happen, not instruct them, not just throw a bunch of little cues and keys and thinking points every time you recognize a mistake.
Right. Yes. I mean, and hammering things also, I mean, I've found does not work, right? Like over and over again, if something's not working, then think about a different way to approach the same, same type of thing, right? Like that's that's the coach's dilemma. But, you know, if it's not resonating to them, it's not, it's not going to resonate to them.
So yeah. And it might not even be. Yeah, and it might not even be like some sort of, you know, cognitive misalignment. It might simply be that you're approaching it in the wrong manner. Like if what it is you're looking for is continuously, routinely not achievable, then you might not be digging deep enough into what the true cause of this problem is, right?
I like that.
A challenge, right? As a coach, right? and then as a coaching parent, you know, because I want to make sure, like, you know, the way we opened the show, it wasn't to suggest that you shouldn't be a coaching parent, but you know, there's just added, you know, as hard as it is to be a coach, it's that much more difficult to be a coaching parent for sure.
Yes. So, Okay. So yes. I have a couple of things just, you know, I want to just, maybe this is going to be random. I don't have a structure to it, but I had something that was on my mind that I wanted to have a discussion with you about. And this is, once your kids are running the course for this discussion. So once your kids are running the course or, you know, are making turns and that kind of stuff, Trent, when you're trying to teach progression and things like that, do you have a certain line length that you like to run kids at that are, like I said, can complete the course, but like, are you like, oh, I'm very traditional. I start long line. Then when they can do this, I go to 15 off. And then when they can do this, I go to 22 off or do you jump this or how do you like, I'm going through it right now. That's why I wanted to ask.
Yeah. Like that question. One's tricky. Like for me and you know, like I like to start everyone at 15 off and you know, admittedly that's probably has as much to do with the fact that I grew up skiing in Canada where there is no long line as it does anything else. You know, like it's in my mind, it's not like things are foundationally different at long line. But I think just so much can be so wrong at long line and they're still running passes. But again, then
well, no, you know, that's what I'm talking about though. That's why, this is why I wanted to have this talk. Cause
yeah. But then you also have, okay, what about the 6-year-old that wants to go to regionals and like, so, you know, and with the way the scoring system works, everyone's, you know, these kids are at a disadvantage at 15. But for me, like, and not all parents will see it like this, but for me, I don't mind them being at a scored disadvantage when they're young, as long as they're learning to do it correctly, you know?
Yes.
So like, you know, I've gone through this with like a lot of my students who, you know, whom I care deeply for and had a great relationship with their parents. And so then it's just like, hey, you know, we're going to take some lumps right now. They're not going to win regionals this year because someone at long line on two skis is going to win regionals this year. But you know, we're going to learn to do this the right way right off the bat. So, you know, you can go either way because I get that there's merit to, hey, I'm going to, you know, we're going to collect these small rewards on the way up and that's going to keep us motivated. But, you know, it in my mind, I just want to learn to do it right the first time.
You know? I mean, you had a lot of very good nuggets in there. One of my thoughts when I was thinking about this episode was that I think that we need to not be so concerned with buoy progression and be more concerned with how the skier is skiing inside of their progression. So, you know, we're just trying to get these, you know, as a parent, you know, I want my kids to be running more buoys than they're running right now too. But at the same token, like at what cost does that do? You know what I mean? Like, where does that lie?
No, and that's a struggle too, where, you know, I think of like one of my little guys, you know, he's not that little guy actually, now he's, I think he just turned 12, sorry, his progression has been slower than some of his peers as it, you know, in terms of like a, you know, pure quantitative data, because he's undersized and, you know, you can run 28 off pulling all the way to the buoy line and you can set your ski up for it to do it in that manner. But, you know, from the time he was running 15 off, 22 off, 28 off, and I was running 32 off, it's been, you know, high swing lines and it's been centerline transitions. And it's, I mean, you know, there was a quicker way for him to run 28 off. Yes. But I watch his kid run 32 off and I'm like, this kid knows how to run 39. You know, he's not big enough and he's not strong enough yet, but you know, his approach and his understanding of what needs to happen and what really isn't that important in the big picture, he knows how to run 39. So, you know, I think especially coming up and at the younger ages, I'm going to put an importance on doing things correctly over, you know, the instant gratification, because even, you know, there's lots of ways. This is going to be gratifying for them in lots of ways. They don't have to win regionals when they're 9 for them to think this is fun, right? Or I hope they don't have to.
right?
So, I mean, yeah. So to answer your question, I stay away from long line. That's my approach. That's why I do it. But
well, I'll have a discussion about this because I obviously just I'm raising two children right now, and this is something. And I did start with long line. I figured give them as much rope as they can to make sure that they can have as much success as they can, because in the success model, they're having fun. And so I went through that progression. We stayed at long line a really long time, because as soon as you took 15 feet away, hence 15 off, it changed how many buoys they could run, and then they got frustrated. So that's how I started. I started on long line just with the thought that it gave them the highest ability to be successful. And in that, I knew that, or I thought that they would appreciate skiing more and enjoy it more. On the flip side, right now, this year with a 13 and a 9-year-old, we're trying something new. And yes, I don't have all the answers. So, you know, if you're listening to these podcasts and thinking that Trent and I have all the answers, we don't. I mean,
I think the thing to just adhere to, and it doesn't matter which method you choose to go is, and I, you know, I said this thing, I say it all too often, but right is right. Correct is correct. So, you know, and cause I use that same idea with the guy that quickly wants to get rid of his 15 off and only start at 22 off or 28 off. And I'm like, correct is correct. If you're doing things correctly at 15 off, as much as you don't think 15 off is that much fun, it's going to bleed upward. So it's the same thing. I mean, can you teach someone foundational basics and teach them the big picture items at long line? Certainly you can, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, anyway, so they learned. So my kids learned that way with the long line, and they learned how to cut the wakes and pull real hard but to have solid leans all the way through the wakes. And
heck yeah.
And, you know, long line allowed them to do some really crazy stuff, like pull super long, have crazy slack, but be able to handle the slack and then keep going, you know, so they learned that all. This year, at the end of last year, my 9-year-old basically got really infatuated with 22 off and 28 off and really became uninterested in 15 off and long line. So
cool.
So we started having fun that way too. I was like, you know what? I don't care that you don't have to, like, again, if I were setting them up for tournament success, 15 off would be the shortest that I would probably have run them for immediate results. Right.
But I have
a young one who is really like, that's what's making it fun for him. And that's what's, even if he's missing, he was like, this is so cool. Yeah. I want to do this. I love it. And you know what was really wild is the dude at slower speeds, you know, ran 22 off a bunch of times, even though it was maybe not exactly how I would like him to run it. He was running it. And then he's like, I want to shorten to 28 off. And we go to 28 off.
I've had a kid like that too.
Right. And then he runs like three buoys at 28 off. And you're like, ooh, I'm starting to see some stuff come alive here.
Yes. Yes.
So,
and that's just it. That's to my point though. I'm just going to just add this in really quickly and keep going. Correct is correct. There's no wrong. There's the foundational stuff that they need to be learning. If they're more driven by, hey, I want to do 30 miles an hour, 32 off. Cause back to my kid that I was just talking about. I mean, this kid wants to, like, one of our courses has the collegiate half buoys, and his thing is once a week, he's allowed to go run 41 on the half buoys. You know what I mean? And it's like, is that a good exercise? Absolutely. It is. It's fun as heck because I still don't let him get away with doing it incorrectly. You know?
Right. Right. Wow. I mean, that's it.
Just make it right. Make it correct. It doesn't matter how to do it. Like, don't, you know, because, it's the same way how you and I, you know, learn to run our hardest passes by perhaps slowing the boat down a little bit. Well, there's a school of thought that people would never dream of doing that, but like not everything has to be within the strict confines or constraints of tournament settings. Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's the same when your kids are learning.
Learning changes, right? Learning changes big time. And I'm finding this out. I'm a math guy, right? So I've always been strong in math and just find enjoyment in doing math, learning math, and finding those solutions, right? Well, the way that I was taught math was a very rigid, very one way, hammer it in. And luckily for me, that way worked, right? And then it comes to teaching your children, right? And they're in school and they have their teachers, and their teachers are teaching an incredibly different way to learn math. I mean, to the point that I'm like, what are you talking about right now? How are you getting to that? I don't want what? But you have to get to this place where you realize there are different ways too. So the way that you learned as a parent isn't necessarily the same way the child needs to learn. So just having an open mind is where I was going with this. Being fluid, not being rigid, not being so tournament focused. Be more focused on number one most important thing. They're having fun and they're engaged. That's I don't care if you say something to them and that makes them pull back, then just let them ski for now. Then it has to be fun, because if it's not fun, they're going to leave. And if you want to ask why we don't have more kids, youth in our skiing, we are growing and it is better than it has been. But the reason being that these kids aren't finding it fun.
Yeah.
You got to have, this has to be the most functional thing. You know, when I teach a kid, a child, even an adult to learn to ski, I have a three-rule system. We've talked about it a bunch. It seems stupid, but it's arm straight, have fun.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So doubly affirming that we are not going to we're not going to bend our arms to learn to water ski. That's functionally, to me, if you can learn without that, then we can do so many positive things, and we won't have to work on, we'll have so many less negative affecting things that I have to undo. And then reminding them right before they go out, like every time they get in the water, I go, hey, what's those three rules of water skiing again? And they're like, oh yeah, arm straight, have fun. And I'm like, there you go, man. And then I'm like, well, it doesn't look like you're having fun. Your face is all scrunched. And then, you know, I'll make a joke about it, or I'll like lighten it up. And then all of a sudden they laugh. And I'm like, now we can ski.
Yeah.
Now we can ski, right?
Yeah.
So no matter what progression that you're on with youth, that still pertains. Like, yes, maybe your 13-year-old can handle more, but look at the body language. Look at their engagement levels. Like, are they having fun? Because if they're not, it is only a matter of time when they're going to start to choose that time that they have to do water skiing. They're going to want to do something else. And this is very important. The progression is not as important. So,
yeah.
Anyway, back to the line length thing real quick. My kids are starting at 22 off right now.
Yeah.
So this year we decided we're going to just start at 22 off, whatever speed it is, and see how that goes.
Speed your way through it.
We're going to have to talk about this next year when I can tell you, wow, guys, that was a total win, or wow, we did that for a month and actually we changed our plan. Like, we're fluid on this. Like, I'm not sticking to this like a hard line. But the reasoning behind it is I want them to, they're having more fun right now at that line length. They're getting a little bit more of that short line feeling, and mm-hmm. that is really exciting to them. And so we're going to try it out and we're going to see how it goes. Anyway, it goes back to being fluid and also that, you know, there are no right or wrong answers. Correct is correct as you said it. So is there any other, you know, we're going to end up running super long on this, but I think it's important. But what do you have any other tidbits, thoughts, anything else?
Yeah, for me, I think like if I was just going to go like just simple parting, it would be temper your expectations. You know, like your expectations should really be their expectations. And then I'll just reiterate, do not overcoach.
No, do not overcoach. One last departing note that I have is one of the things that I've found that's been very positive is that we, you know, whatever, arm straight, like if we're working on arm straight, then right before the, you know, like when my youngest is on the platform, right as they're about to jump in, I might just say, hey man, what were we working on that last set? And I'm not even kidding. 80% of the time I get this blank look and I go, remember arm straight? oh yeah. That's it. And then I let them ski, but just like these gentle, soft reminders. So, you know, in departing, just make sure it's fun and they're engaged. You know, if you don't know what to give them, go to coaches, reach out to Trent and I on GiveGo, whatever it is that we need to be doing. You have resources at your disposal, but keep it simple, keep it fun, and get them on the water.